This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome into the PHNX Suns VIP Lounge for the 13th time in a row.
Hell yeah.
That one was a little bit nerve-wracking, I'll be honest.
Yeah, that was a little too close.
I didn't love that one. But we did it. We made it. 13 in a row. That's all that matters. As always, we are brought to you by our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Listen, before we even get into this, we're going to go straight to the bar.
Yes.
Because doubles all around, drink of the night, Crowder's cash outs.
It's like she was winding herself up when you said that.
I couldn't remember what the word was. Nobody
doubles
can see
all
us
around.
Doing that, though.
Jay Crowder, you beautiful bastard, you. I love you, man.
So, Espo, for the second night in a row, back-to-back Ws on the DraftKings Sportsbook app because you chose Jay Crowder to make the first field goal.
Third time I've won on Jay Crowder. First time I won $434. Then I won $1,300 last night. I won $1,200 tonight.
Espo bought dinner, in case you were wondering.
I actually didn't solve it.
Oh, that's right.
But, yeah, I'm still
waiting
for my money.
But you beautiful bastard, you, Jay Crowder. The missus is getting a good dinner.
Yeah. Congratulations, Espo. I'm really happy for you. Saul, you also hit on that bet as well. You didn't bet as big, but you still hit.
I did. Won a little bit over $100.
I had four other people either text or DM me and say, thank you, I won because I took Jay Crowder on the first basket tonight.
I love that for all of us.
I was so very close to putting $1,000 on it, too. The $1,000 I won last night.
But as our man behind the mag said, if you would have put $1,000 on it, it probably wouldn't have hit because that's just how it goes.
It is how it goes.
So we're thankful that you won what you did win. It's going to be a good Christmas in the Esposito household.
Do we let it ride on Wednesday? Do we do another 100 on Jay?
You're tempting the fates.
I don't know.
Yeah, you got to judge that
how you feel
when you wake up.
I'm going to be if I don't do it and he hits it because of you, Gerald. And we ride, Shane. The mustache behind the Mac says, oh, we ride. We ride on Wednesday.
Well, it was a 115-111 win over the Spurs, 13 straight. What are you guys' initial thoughts in this one?
Yeah, almost choked it away at the end. They let the Spurs hang around just close enough. They couldn't get past like the 15-point mark. And then the Spurs just kept hitting shots. And, I mean, give credit to the Spurs. They played hard down the stretch despite being a 4-12 team now. But, yeah, a little too close. It, you know, Chris Paul has and Devin Booker have to understand that situation in the last minute. Like, yes, they are more likely to foul in that situation, but you still got to prepare as if they aren't. And you could tell they got a little laxed and surprised at what happened in those last couple possessions.
Yeah, a couple of sloppy turnovers down the stretch. You know, we saw that kind of vintage Suns run that they go on in the fourth. They went on that 10-0 run to extend the lead to 15 when the Spurs had cut it to 5. And then the Spurs, like, I think they scored like 7 points in a minute span or something to cut it back down. But overall, DeAndre Ayton had a fantastic game, especially the first half. He was rolling hard. He was putting the ball on the ground in the short roll, which we've talked about so many times as being the key to unleashing him. And then campaign was huge off the bench. So those were my biggest takeaways.
Look, it played out the way I thought it would. I thought it'd be closer than it should be just because it was a back end, a tail end of a back-to-back. It's the Spurs. Weird things always happen. against the Spurs. Look, this was right where I thought it would be. This is just a schedule reasoning why the game played out the way it did. The Suns looked good for most of it. It looked like they had tired legs in that fourth, and they get the win. I call this a Thunder Road win, right? Which is a Bruce Springsteen reference, because in Thunder Road, he has the lyric, "You ain't a beauty, but hey, you're all right." Which is the most insulting line to a woman ever in a song.
That's not, worse than
that
anything.
Is really rude.
Isn't it? It's like the biggest backhanded compliment thing in a song I've ever heard, but it's perfect for this win. It wasn't pretty, but it got the job done, and that's all that matters.
That's worse than anything we've said about Steve Buscemi by far.
Buscemi's are home wins. Thunder Road wins are when it happens on the road.
Okay. I definitely didn't see Bruce Springsteen ever getting brought up on this show.
No.
So it's a little surprise.
I'm sorry.
Oh, like the old cat lady down there should be the one pointing out my foibles.
I mean, what are we talking about?
Mean for that to come off that way.
No. Oh no. Oh, he's taking his money and he's going home.
No,
oh, he actually left the building.
That's left the building.
Oh, he's back now. We're okay.
Oh my god. Like... I want that on repeat. I want it on a loop.
This was not what I was going to tell.
Look at she's Manuel in the chat is cutthroat. That was an espo. That was the win was the espo of the podcast. Ain't pretty, but we'll take it.
Hey, he said JK. It doesn't matter.
Nice.
Yeah, JK makes it all right.
Hey, wait. Hey, Espo, you say JK all the time. What are you talking about?
I was told by some GM of mine that I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, doesn't make it okay.
Lindsay's crying tears of guilt right now.
Oh, that's so awesome.
What I meant was so we awesome. Are the older... acting.
Yeah, that's
group.
What you meant.
But
Lindsay.
You have the old school references.
that's what I mean.
You always
all
have
right,
the old
Lindsay,
school reference.
Basically, Lindsay's saying she's old on the inside, but you're old on the outside.
No, you just have the old school. Okay, I'm sorry.
Keep digging, Lindsay. Keep digging. Just keep digging.
No, that just came off a lot more mean than what it was not intended to be, though. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, Espo. Okay, can we go back to DeAndre? So T.A. finished with 21 points and 14 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Gerald, you pointed to some of the things that he's added to his game or improved upon this season.
Uh-huh.
What do you guys see overall so far from DeAndre that you like? And what do you have as far as like where you think it'll go with the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think lately he's just been on a tear ever since he came back. He's been really good attacking off the dribble like we've talked about. And he's just doing a lot of the dirty work and is a hard worker. Like we've talked about how he crashes the glass, how he rolls hard on screens. And I don't think he gets enough credit sometimes for how exhausting that can be physically on you, how taxing it can be, especially when you're having to do a lot on the defensive end as well. Guard out on the perimeter, defend the rim, deter shots. Like he's just been doing a lot. Espo, are you doing okay?
I'm fine, Gerald.
I'm not
like
used to being able to
Espo
see.
Espo looks like my dog when I take his toy away. He just... runs onto the other side of the couch and turns his back to me, and then he kind of looks back. I'm like, okay.
Saul, you're dead to me. On to the next one. All right.
But yeah, I mean, Aiden's been great lately.
I'm so sorry, you guys.
Yeah, did you see hello in the chat? He said, I've noticed Lindsay likes throwing people under the bus and then taking it back.
I love that my lawyer in the chat, so says Jay, just said, this level of immaturity is very disappointing. For those of you listening on audio, I have turned my back to Lindsay and the rest of the group because that's just how I feel right now.
Oh, man.
I mean, listen, to be fair, I feel like in order to hang with the three of you, I got to have a little spice every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
What does that even mean, Jews beans? R.I.P. Saul? Did I die?
What happened to you?
I don't know.
I said you're dead to me, Saul.
Oh.
The code gets it.
I mean, to be fair, I hardly ever listen to the people that are closest to me.
Oh my gosh. I'm really sorry I got us off on like a whole thing there. Let's bring it back. Gerald, please continue with your DeAndre and conversations.
Yes, Gerald, please.
I'm really struggling.
Please help, Gerald.
Look, we've talked about this so many times, but like DeAndre Ayton, when he catches the ball in that short roll and his ability to put it down and close the gap between defenders that are sagging off to protect the rim is huge. And we saw him do that a couple of times tonight. It's not the biggest thing in the world that he takes one or two dribbles, but when he does it, he looks so good. He had that Euro step, I think, the other night. Mm-hmm. And he's been doing that more lately. And I think he's mentioned, when we've asked him about it, he's mentioned that like watching JaVale McGee and Frank Kaminsky, learning from them a little bit. Like we've talked about, you know, DA is clearly the best of the three. His ceiling is way above any of theirs. But these little areas of their game that he can pick up on and add to his own game is going to truly unleash him. So it's really neat to see him kind of putting those things together as we go along. Because, you know, the first handful of games before he got that contusion weren't overly impressive. But now he has like consistently been great since he's returned.
He's been very astute, Gerald.
He's been very, very good. And again, I think DA is a top five center in the league. And I know we always talk about his worth because, you know, of the whole contract thing. But DeAndre Ayton, you're not going to find 25 other centers that are better than him. You're not even going to find more than five other centers that might be better than him in the league, period. Mm-hmm. Like, he needs to have that respect because on the defensive end, he does just as much as he does on the offensive end. And he's just learning. And I don't know if this is a process of JaVale being here and kind of affecting him in practice and him understanding, because it feels like he's taking shots that normally he wouldn't have taken before because the defender has been closer, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But because JaVale's against him in practice and he's got that length, he's a little bit more used to it. So he doesn't feel like it's not a mismatch. He's like, okay, I got this. Boom. He's been awesome. He's been awesome the last couple of games.
You know what really bothered me during the broadcast, though? And I don't think it was intended in any way, but K-Ray brings up, oh, Mikal Bridges does so much than score. The scoring is something to the extent of the scoring isn't as important with all he does on the defensive end. And a lot of people buy into that mindset, and I understand it, but it doesn't apply to DeAndre Ayton, which drives me nuts.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it's all of a sudden, it's like, whoa. DA does all this other stuff. Then he gives you 21 and 14 as well. But somehow, a lot of times, that's not good enough. I still don't understand the weird double standard even within the own ranks. But DeAndre Ayton just keeps doing it. He just keeps going out there and getting you double doubles. You can pencil it in, you know?
Yeah.
And he plays really hard when, like, night in and night out, DeAndre's putting in the effort.
Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that stood out for me tonight was the three assists as well, because he had that one pass that made Saul jump out of his chair.
Oh, my goodness.
It was facing the other way, threw it with one hand, like twirling to Jay Crowder in the corner.
Perfect I don't know how pass. He saw him.
Yeah. He saw him when the defenders collapsed and he kind of bobbled the ball. His head had turned that way, I think. So he knew where he was, but to be able to be facing this way, turn and like throw it with one hand perfectly to the corner, those are the type of passes that, like, if he can start making those consistently, there's going to be no answer for him in the pick and roll at all.
Love to see DeAndre Ayton having continued success here back after that injury. All right, guys, let's take a look at our draft king of the game. Tonight it is none other than Cam Payne. He finished with 20 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. Lindsay, we will see Lindsay that said, crown placement Lindsay, here shortly.
Lindsay said, fuck you, Shane.
Oh!
Lindsay said, fuck you, Shane. I got
it. I mean, I figured by the time I was done talking, it would be there.
Hey, Shane was so proud of his terrible crown placement yesterday, he had to show it again today on there with DA.
But yes, Cam Payne, he had 20 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds in tonight's game. He led that bench unit, and they showed up big time tonight for this Suns team.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, they absolutely did. I mean, if you look at, like, I don't want to put too much stock in single game plus minus, but if you look at the bench compared to the starters, Cam Johnson plus 18, McGee plus 8, Payne plus 14, Shamet plus 10. Like, they were the reason the Suns won this game tonight, because the starters didn't really have it going early on and in the second half. So they were great. Campaign was huge. He had 20. McGee had 14. Shamet had 11. Like, that bench unit hasn't had much time together because guys have been in and out of the lineup. McGee was starting for Ayton, but now they're kind of figuring it out a little bit.
Yeah, and you need your bench to come up big on on that back half of a back-to-back. So this team continues to do whatever it takes to win. It doesn't matter what combination it is. They keep finding it night in, night out.
Yeah.
Listen, Campaign showed us last year in the playoffs that he has what it takes to play at a very, very high level. Mm-hmm. And tonight, he just looked like the best guard on the court tonight. Like, I don't know if that's really debatable. In the short amount of time he was on the court, he absolutely showed out. He looked like he was in complete control of his game. He was hitting it from three. He was hitting the mid-range. He was taking it to the basket. He had total control out there. I actually would have liked to see him play a few more minutes than he got, just because of how he was playing. You got to ride the hot hand. And, you know, I think if there's a weakness on this Suns team, and I don't know if you want to say it's Monty or whatever, but in terms of substitution, it would be Monty. You got to ride the hot hand. And this team needs to start to understand that, because if they keep trying to ride Book and CP3 the entire time when things start to get a little rocky, they're going to falter at some point. You got to ride the hot hand and make it easier on yourself as you go through these games. They should have rode Campaign a little bit more. But other than that, Campaign was awesome.
Yes, I agree.
This team isn't built to ride the hot hand, though.
No, they never
have.
It's
not the way the offense is built. And I still think that's a flaw in the system.
Absolutely. We saw it last year in the finals.
It can be at times. It's also a strength, and it's also the reason why Monty gets so much out of the guys he gets stuff out of. Like, you look at some of the reclamation projects the Suns have had, as far as like Frank Kaminsky even. Just a lot of these bench guys, Campaign, that come in here, and because it's a we score mentality, because anybody can touch the ball down when the ball goes down the court, like, that's something that empowers guys. It's also it can be a little frustrating when it comes to guys like Abdul Nader, who are, you know, getting minutes when they're healthy. But it's a long season, and he needs everyone to be engaged and locked in. So it comes with pros, it comes with cons. Sometimes the cons are more noticeable on nights like this, when, you know, you want to ride the hot hand of a guy like Payne. But, you know, that Suns starting lineup is so good that it's hard to veer away from them in the clutch. Tonight was kind of an outlier in terms of how they played down the stretch.
Well, I mean, we're not, you know, we've been saying this for the last couple of games, though. It's not just been, you know, Campaign tonight, but like Mikal Bridges, you know, the other night, you know, like, he was clearly the hottest guy on the court, and right. They didn't even act like he was even on the court in the second half. They didn't even look his way, didn't pass to him. Like, you got to know. You just got to be better than that. And I would expect a veteran backcourt like Devin Booker and CP3 to know that. And I think that's what makes this a little bit more accentuated, if you will, is that you do have a guy like CP3 who knows better, who knows, like, okay, my man's hot. We got to keep riding that a little bit, or at least give him a few opportunities to see if he still remains hot, not just completely ignore him. And that's, you know, that's been my kind of bitch about DA, is that, you know, sometimes when they're struggling, they just refuse to go down low to DA and get maybe an easy bucket. And like, that affected them last year, and especially in the finals. Like, they had no alternative outside of CP3 and Devin. And when CP3 was banged up, it was basically, I hope Devin can carry us. And it didn't work. You know what I mean?
Right. But I think for me, the reason that didn't work is because the ball stopped moving, because they did devolve, like you're saying, into either just Devin go or Chris Paul go. And it was like one-on-one. But this is like, this feels a little bit different, because even like the Bridges game, like he was saying after the game, like, you put me in those many pick and rolls and I'll get more than seven shots for sure. I think it's one of those things where the offense was still humming in that case because they were still moving it. Like last year in the finals, it definitely stopped moving, and you could tell when it wasn't.
Some of it's the defense, though. They take away other options to force you into it as well. I get that. It feels like it's a pattern, and if we see it, you know other teams see it too, and at some point, does it get exploited? Is it a weakness, or is it a strength? I think it can wind up being both along the way. It just depends on how the opponent's coach and team defense plays against it.
When they play better competition, which is basically the end of this week and next week, we'll find out. I think we'll find out whether or not, you know, is it a trend, or is it something that, you know, they just, you know, kind of overlooked. And because when you get into those difficult games, you're looking for every easy way out to try and make it easier on yourself. So we'll find out soon. But
By the way, there's Daniel, I believe, in the chat said, I'm just here to see who Lindsay kills off this evening. I think it was me.
I think that already happened.
The show.
Yeah. There has been fatality. There has been a murder.
I need to be nicer. Y'all. I'm sorry.
No, you
guys.
Don't. No,
no, you don't.
You're dressed in all black for a reason. It's because you're at a funeral and you murdered Espo.
Did you see what? Did you see where he went after Espo left the room?
No, what happened?
Shane do.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
Oh, no.
He's got him with his back on the cliff.
Oh. Is he about to jump off the cliff at Kaminsky Cove?
I'm contemplating.
No,
my
he's just hanging out
cove.
In Kaminsky
Man,
Cove.
That's like a tiny cliff, or that's just a big Espo.
Thanks, Saul. The chat's not gonna have any fun with that comment.
All right. Man. Well, this Thanksgiving,
into a flip.
You guys can be thankful for free bets. That's right. The DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official betting partner of the NFL, has a Turkey Day no-brainer for all of you guys that you don't want to miss. New customers who sign up using the code PHNX can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets instantly if either team scores a point. Which we had this earlier, and I think, what'd you say, Espo, was
1943, I believe.
So, it was a long time ago.
The last time a 0-0 tie happened.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
In the NFL. Oh, yeah.
So you're basically guaranteed to win $100 in free bets from the DraftKings Sportsbook app if you use the code PHNX when you sign up and you place just a $1 bet on any Thanksgiving NFL game. So it's a no-brainer. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, be sure to do so and use that code PHNX. This is cute.
I'm so confident. I'm betting Jay Crowder to score first in each of the Thanksgiving Day games, even.
Oh,
that's
a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how that plays out for you.
Very bold. And then
stupid Derek White.
For the Thanksgiving games, all customers get a risk-free bet up to $25 if your same game parlay doesn't win. So that's another added bonus from the DraftKings Sportsbook app. They have special promos like that where you can basically place risk-free bets because you get your money back if it doesn't hit.
Let me give you some advice. If you're going to take that, go multiple layers into your same game parlay and up those odds, because if you're betting $10, you might as well go with a big odds if they're going to pay you back. Even if you lose,
for sure.
Exactly.
They're not going to like me giving away their secrets here on how to win money with
them. Hey, but we're here to help you guys. Like Espo said, he had a whole bunch of people message him during today's game saying that they made the same bet he did and also won. Saul, you won too. So, I mean, it's a great time to get on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
I also lost, though, because I had Derek White having 15 points, six rebounds, and six assists. And he came up so close. 19 points, four rebounds, four assists.
What Saul gets for going and betting on his own terms without consulting me on how to do this.
I mean, that's fair. You are on a heater. So
he's 21 and over.
Jay Crowder's
only listen
on a
to Espo. look at that. Yeah.
Yes.
Jay twice, baby. I love it.
As Espo was saying, though, that is 21 and older only. Arizona only. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. New customers only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook
for details. This Compazzo thing is crazy. This Compazzo, it is. He definitely thinks you are Compazzo's twin brother.
Man,
are the Air Max 720s.
I wouldn't need I wouldn't need to bet on Jay Crowder to score the first basket if I were Compazzo's twin brother. I'd just hit my brother up and go, can I have some of that sweet, sweet cash that the Nuggets are paying you that you're basically stealing from them? Can I have some of that? Oh,
shall we get into the hot button topic of tonight's show?
I thought we already did.
Yeah, since we're already on such great terms.
we're pushing all really the buttons.
Let's just burn the whole ratchet up to about 400. Thanksgiving family feuds here at PHNX, but we decided, thanks to, who suggested this? Do you remember?
Chris.
Yep. Yes,
Chris
thanks
Melton
to Chris.
The
The suggestion was to rank our top five Thanksgiving dishes or food items.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. And I feel like I'm going to get a lot of heat tonight.
As you should.
Oh, so
boy.
I don't.
Who wants to volunteer and go first here? Because
somebody volunteer to go first.
Before we get into this, Brian in the chat says Espo's dad was right. He should call 1-800. That is one hell of a memory there. I'm impressed.
Oh my god! I'll
go first because okay, I'm used to taking shrapnel on this show. Anyways, let's do a little rank.
We put them all on the same thing, didn't we?
Yeah.
Nobody's going first.
We're all doing it at the same time.
I can explain my list for the audio only.
For sure.
Group. Okay, you explain your list, Espo.
Okay, so stuffing is number one, It goes without saying. Stuffing is the best part of a Thanksgiving meal. It's bread, which you can't go wrong with bread. It's seasoned, and it's been in the turkey, so you get the turkey flavor, too. It's the best thing. Canned cranberry sauce is my second. And I don't care what anybody says. There is nothing Clearly. Like canned cranberry sauce than twice-baked potatoes. I don't know if you guys have ever had these.
Fancy.
Nothing like a twice-baked potato. Fancy. Cheese, potato, more potato, more cheese. What the hell else do you need? That's like all the food groups you need right there for Thanksgiving.
This is just all carbs.
That's what Thanksgiving is.
Stuffed mushrooms. I'll let my Italian show a little bit.
Okay.
You get mushroom stuffed with a little cheese. Always a little cheese.
I love me some cheese.
Should have just been the whole list. Is what I'm getting with breadcrumbs in there. It's good. Then you bake those, and then it's pumpkin pie with a pecan crust.
This is
all
so
right.
True.
There is no. You There's don't no go entree. To Thanksgiving for an entree. You go for the side dishes, all right?
Oh, boy.
It was like my dating strategy back in the day, too. You go, you know.
Oh, my God.
No entree, just the sides?
The side pieces?
Oh, my gosh.
This man was ruthless back in the day.
I don't know about the dating situation either. As far as, like, Thanksgiving meal, I kind of feel you with the sides. They're pretty solid.
Well, seriously, who's going to Thanksgiving going, you know what? I'm here for turkey and turkey only. Fuck the rest of it. That's all I want.
Ew,
you
no.
You go for the side dishes.
Only a serial killer would only show up for turkey.
Who's going next?
I'll go next because mine has turkey at the top, but it has turkey with red chili because I will give you that turkey by itself can be pretty bland unless you know exactly what you're doing. That's why in New Mexico, we have the red chili to give that turkey some extra flavor. It's basically, I wouldn't eat the turkey without the red chili probably. Then I got mashed potatoes with green chili because you mix mashed potatoes and the green chili in there.
I like where your head's
at. Oh my God, it's so good.
Oh my God. You just said it with oh my God.
Oh my God.
Since you guys can't see him right now, he just drooled on himself.
Oh God.
Damn it. And now we've got prosciutto wrapped asparagus because, I mean, that's.
Dude, again, you guys are rich.
I mean, that's an Italian thing.
Baked potato and prosciutto wrapped asparagus.
All you got to do is just buy prosciutto and wrap it around asparagus and put it in the oven. It's fucking bomb.
Hey, what that prosciutto is.
And then we got pecan pie. Number four, because got to have a dessert in there, and pumpkin pie is good, but it's kind of basic. And then for number five, we got Jack Daniel's Fire and Coke, because guess what? I am not going to be sober on Thanksgiving. I need a drink.
Gerald's the drunk uncle.
I am the drunk uncle, and I'm cool with it. None of you guys are all going to be parched as shit. I have a drink.
The whole New Mexico Thanksgiving sounds drunk as hell. Like, is half this stuff?
Dude,
it's fantastic.
I love it.
Not Thanksgiving.
I'm all about Gerald's Thanksgiving. I'm not going to lie.
It's a great time.
Mine's sweet potatoes and marshmallows because that's the goat.
That's the goat.
Yeah, so you and I agree on that, and that's where we stop our agreement. stuffing with cranberry sauce, as well, I will agree with you. Canned cranberry sauce is the best cranberry sauce.
Okay, but
I don't
want
that.
Eat this cranberry sauce by itself? Because cranberry sauce is only good on the turkey because it needs something.
No, I need to have it with the stuffing.
Yeah,
I don't even need it with
stuffing.
The turkey. Yeah.
You go by itself a little bit. I mean, everything's kind of mixed in the Thanksgiving plate anyways.
Yeah, and then turkey only if it's smoked or deep fried. I don't like that big shit. Keep that to your grandma. and then mashed potatoes with gravy. Mashed potatoes with gravy. And then pecan pie because pecan pie is the best dessert.
It's so good.
I've never had pecan pie.
Really?
Oh, that's good. Why you put pumpkin up there, you
asshole.
It's
pretty good.
It's good.
I have a pecan crust. My aunt used to make a great one, all right? I don't know. I'm just saying I appreciate a good pecan, so I'm sure I'd like the pie. It just wasn't ever at my Thanksgivings.
Well, tomorrow maybe you'll have some.
Maybe I will if I actually show up.
All right. If he's not too angry after the show.
I feel like literally everyone is coming for me in the comments for mine.
Yeah, because it's terrible.
It's not, though. So sweet potatoes with marshmallows is by far the best thing about Thanksgiving.
And this is where you fucked it
but
all up.
But here's the thing. So my grandma makes it to where it's pretty, it's not like a casserole.
Yeah.
So it's like actual sweet potatoes and then like a sauce with like brown sugar and all that stuff. So you use the King's Hawaiian roll to soak up the juices.
We don't soak up the juices. We call it sop it up.
Okay. Then to sop it up. Up the juices.
Hold on a second. And it's crap for stuffing and you have giant piece of bread as your number two?
Yeah, because it's bomb.
I'll give Lindsay this. I love King Hawaiian rolls.
They're so good.
But I wouldn't put it number two on a list.
Well, because, I wouldn't put it as a Thanksgiving thing either.
The only reason why I put it number two is because the only reason I show up to Thanksgiving is for the sweet potatoes. And then what I use, what complements the sweet potatoes, basically.
You should have put them together.
So why not make a damn sandwich? Just
well,
put
that's
two
what
of
I was getting with ham is number four, because if you stick ham in between your Hawaiian roll and you put a little bit of that sweet potato on it, it is so
good. Who has ham at Thanksgiving?
Man.
It just seems like just a sweet, like, overload.
It's basically dessert, yes. I will eat the sweet potatoes as dessert, which is why there's not pie on this.
How many ovens do you have in your house? You're cooking a ham, a turkey, like...
First of all, you don't even cook. What are you talking about?
I know you had to have multiple ovens to do that.
You don't. You don't have to have multiple ovens.
How are you cooking a ham and a turkey at the same time with all this other stuff?
One family member brings the ham, the other
brings
the turkey.
You cook a ham at one temperature, and then as it's about to finish, you put the other one in.
Who has that kind of time?
Okay, and then tamales, green chili and cheese are my favorite.
That's a good one. It's the wrong spelling of chili, but I love the green chili tamales.
Yeah, it's chili with an E.
Well,
she likes green cold tamales.
Okay, and then I just put green bean casserole at the end because I don't really care about anything else really at Thanksgiving. Like, it's all whatever. But my mom does make a good green bean casserole, so I had to give Susie some love.
Number five?
No green bean should ever be on the list.
I don't like any of those three words in that phrase. Green bean casserole. Yeah. I don't like any of it. It's bad.
Whatever, you haters.
Out of all the things that you could have picked as filler, you went with green bean casserole?
Yeah, I mean, they're good. I think it's good.
Gross.
Whatever. I don't want to hear it.
I think I clearly won this.
I'm happy with my Thanksgiving.
Saul always thinks he clearly has won.
We've only done two other ones, and I won one of them.
I mean everything. I don't mean just what we do as steak draft. Yeah. It's always the I did clearly win.
Oh man.
Yeah, I don't think I won this one because I feel like mine is basically like a kid's menu almost.
Does mac and cheese
like, not on a kid's plate?
Oh yeah, it's all of those things, and then like the green bean casserole you try to force your kids to eat. Yeah. Yeah.
Does anybody have mac and cheese at Thanksgiving?
I don't either.
No. I love mac and cheese, but I felt like I'd be a fraud if I put it on because we never have.
Usually we had collard greens, but not mac and cheese.
See, one of my favorite Thanksgiving things, and I didn't include it because it's not Thanksgiving meal. My wife makes a breakfast casserole for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite thing that we eat. Yeah. But it didn't really count because it wasn't really the Thanksgiving meal. So I don't trust Espo. He doesn't know what meat is on a chicken wing.
It's just a glob of chicken.
It's a glob of turkey. Who wants to eat
that? Espo's number one should have just been glump.
Glump.
I think a glump, please.
All right. Well, that was our rank and file top five Thanksgiving dishes.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever had somebody bring to a Thanksgiving meal?
Fucking potato salad with raisins in it.
Did somebody really do
yes.
that, though?
Yes. Yes. 1,000,000% yes. It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I was in the military. It was my first year in Florida, and I didn't have family down in Florida. So we ate at a person's house, and somebody literally brought potato salad with raisins in it.
It's
and I Florida. Thought it was like make-believe.
I was going to say, it's Florida. Like, I don't necessarily
Yeah, it was
me.
Like, oh, my gosh. When I saw that, I almost threw up.
Yeah.
I think the weirdest thing somebody's ever brought is a turkey with red chili sauce to my house.
This man's going to be hating, and then one year he's going to try it, and I'm going to change his world.
You bring me some, I'll try it. I'll try anything.
We'll see how it survives the drive back.
Wait, green bean casserole is the side everyone fights over to bring because it's the easiest one?
Is
it? I didn't know that.
What do you just put green beans in a casserole dish? You call it casserole?
Like, I have no idea.
I don't touch that crap. So.
It's just green beans and then mushroom, freaking cream of mushroom, and then some onion, fried onions on top, and that's it. It's
all of that
most
sounds,
basic thing to make.
Oh, it sounds worse terrible. Than I thought.
Well, that explains things a little bit. So.
Why does everybody hate on pumpkin pie so damn much?
Because it's not even good.
I like the whipped cream on top of it.
Store-bought sucks. I'll say that. But have you had a legit, fresh, homemade pumpkin pie?
Yes, my sister makes a good pumpkin pie. If you like pumpkin pie, you would love my sister's pumpkin pie.
Like, I was spoiled. My aunt made all the pies homemade growing up. Mm. So, like, that's why I like pumpkin pie. I'm not talking, like, Safeway, been sitting there for a week. You know, you pull it out and it's gross. It's like they dumped a can of filling in there. Like, I'm talking good stuff here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind pumpkin pie. It's not bad. I would just, if I had a choice between pumpkin and pecan, I'm going pecan.
I think this debate basically started with the question, is pumpkin pie overrated? So that's kind of how we got into this. I don't know that it would be that pumpkin pie is like straight garbage. Saul thinks so, right? But
pumpkin pie
it's
is
overrated.
The worst pie. It is overrated.
Pumpkin pie has taken so much heat because we got pumpkin spice everything now. All right. That's why it's hit this point.
It's
right?
a conspiracy against
it's,
pumpkin
it's
pie.
Like, it's like LeBron and the Lakers. All right.
Okay. Well, sorry. Someone asked if I've ever bought Allsup's chimichangas in New Mexico. I actually have not. So I would love some feedback because I'm going to actually head up there on Wednesday for Thanksgiving. So I'm looking for things to fill out my list of places to knock off while I'm home.
There you go.
Sounds like he's going out of robberies.
How about Wex?
Looking for places to knock off while I'm home.
Wex is good.
Yeah, Wex.
Yeah, so send him those, tweet at him so he knows where to go.
Canaret Weiss is asking about the game. Yeah, we talked about that for like the first 30 minutes of this show. They were fantastic. Then they choked, and then JaVale McGee did get some bum-ass foul calls, but they ended up winning, so there's your 13-game win streak recap.
Well, anything else you guys would like to talk about from tonight's game before we wrap up?
Can we go back to how dumb the Spurs moniker is? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, like when we go back and we look at these kind of games, like we're not going to remember that the Suns kind of let it get away from them for a little bit. All we're going to remember is that they won the game. Mm-hmm. And that's 13 in a row. They have a chance to do something that maybe no other Suns team has ever done. You know, they got to do it five more times and then they might be on an 18 game winning streak. They got to take it one game at a time. They have another day off. Wednesday's another key game before they wrap up the last two on the road. And those last two are going to be a little difficult because it's the Knicks and the Nets on a back to back. And the back end of that back to back is not the fucking Spurs. I'll tell you that much right now. So, but this should be fun. And this is what we all signed up for. We wanted to see this team play as well as we hoped they would. And I know Espo had the panic button sitting right here when they were 1-3, but none of us touched it. And that is for this reason, because we knew that they were going to be able to come through.
Yeah, I mean, they're in rarefied air now. They are tied for the third longest win streak, second team. So 06-07 Suns had a 17 and a 15 game win streak. And then they're tied with the 92-93 Suns at 13 games. That was the longest win streak that team went on. That's something special to be mentioned with those two teams. Those are the two, arguably two of the best Suns teams in the history of the franchise. So they have legitimately put themselves in rarefied air, and they're on a pace with this start to be one of the best starts for a team who's coming off a trip to the finals as well. There's something really good about this team.
There, Canara in the chat said, do you think it was hard for our players and Coach Pop basically to play each other tonight based on their Olympic relationship? Honestly, like, these guys don't think about that.
Yeah,
they, when they get on the court, they want to beat the opponent. They don't really care who it is or how great of a relationship they have. Like, you know, Gerald and I are good friends, but if we played one-on-one on the basketball court, he'd want to beat me and I'd want to beat him. And I don't think about our relationship off the court. It's like, okay, I want to destroy you. And he would say the same thing, I think. So
yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a lot with the players. Like, they always say, you know, before the game, it's all love. After the game, it's all love. But when they're on that court, it's, I don't care who you are. The goal here is to win and whatever it takes. So
the only guy, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, the only guy that I think it could be a little weird, and it likely isn't, it is Monty Williams, because played for Pop, coached with Pop after a difficult time in his life, you know, and now is coaching against Pop. There's a bond there between those two guys, but even them, they understand it's business when you get out there.
It's competition, you know, and that's what you're getting paid for, and you understand that, and you've known that your entire life. You've even known about, you know, these guys are assistant coaches before they become head coaches, and they establish relationships all over the league, obviously. So you know there's going to be a point in time where you're going to face a counterpart that maybe you worked with for a year or two or three. And these guys just don't think about that kind of stuff. I don't think most people don't think about that kind of stuff when they go play ball. Like, I don't think I've ever thought about, oh, that's my best friend playing against me. Like, no, I'm going to destroy you. That's because that's what I want to do. I want to win this game so I can stay on the court.
I do wonder if the coach to coach, there's a little bit, especially with a coach like Pop and Monty, a little bit of like a passing of the torch sort of a thing, especially because there was the conversations after the Olympics of Monty maybe being in that that running for that head coaching job.
Well, Espo was talking about he said the teacher becomes the master, but I think he meant to say the student becomes the master, because Monty was the student.
Right.
And now he's growing to that level and getting that level of respect, and it's only going to get better for him the more he stays in this game like it was for Pop. So I can see that to that regard for sure.
So maybe a little bit more on the coaching side of things, just because they're a little more removed. But I think player to player and coach to player, probably not so much.
No, definitely not. I think Monty just holds Pop in high esteem, high regard for everything that he's done in his life. But still, when you get on the court, that goes out the window. Both those guys want to win.
So. I think with Pop, I could see him kind of like subtly trash talking, like, you know, Devin Booker, like maybe Devin Booker was struggling, like hitting a fadeaway in the corner or something like that. Then he hits one tonight, and as he runs by, he's like, oh, now you hit it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like those kind of things. But nothing like personal for sure.
I love that. And then to your point, Saul, I am really excited for the end of this week. I think it'll be a little bit of a test for the guys, and hopefully push them to take the next step, because everyone has been talking all season long. Everyone over associated with that team will tell you, yeah, we're on a really good win streak right now. We got to soak it in. Hopefully the fans are enjoying it, but this isn't the final form. There's another step to be taken. So hopefully this will push them closer to that.
That's a great, this pod is the embodiment of the Suns joking around all game and getting serious in the last 5 minutes. he's not wrong.
We're now going to talk philosophy and religion for the remaining few moments.
I mean, tonight especially. Tonight was a little bit. But, you know, we had to get our Thanksgiving in because Gerald is going home for Thanksgiving, so we weren't able to do it on Wednesday.
Yes.
You're out Wednesday?
We got him for one game, and now he's gone again.
I might make a surprise appearance while I'm on vacation back home, but we'll see. And also, Manuel, I saw earlier, I have had Blake's, though. I have had their breakfast burritos, and yes, they are bomb. Sorry. I see my Burkenios in the chat, so I got to acknowledge them.
Have you ever thrown a Venezia's pizza onto a roof?
I have not. And you know what's sad is the owners of that home had to put up a fence in front of their wall because people kept coming to their house and throwing pizzas on their roof.
That's amazing.
Wait, what?
Breaking Bad,
the Walter White's house.
Oh.
You remember how he like throws the pizza on the roof? I've never seen that. People kept going to because like there's a Breaking Bad tour in Albuquerque and you can go visit the house, and people would just come and throw a whole ass pizza on their roof like Walter did in the show.
The best part of that tour, that's you really get a sample mean. The meth too. So.
Oh my God.
I will have you know Missouri is the meth capital of the United States. Oh, we get a bad rep because of that show.
Look, Saul, if you have not seen Breaking Bad,
it's the best show.
Spend the entire
time.
Weekend and binge the damn thing. It is the greatest television show.
I've seen like five episodes. I like this is my crutch. Is I get like halfway through a season and then I like tap out. I got all the way to the point where he blew up. He threw like a bomb inside his little room.
Oh
when
yeah,
the, when
in
the
Tuco's room.
Yeah. That's the last episode I saw.
keep going.
Yeah,
okay. It's great.
Right. It's an all-timer. It's one of the best shows, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have a guy named Saul Goodman.
No,
and my
I
name's
did
Saul
watch
Bookman.
It. No, I didn't know what you guys were talking about.
Gotcha. I thought you were just like trying to get it. Yeah, it was good.
No. Movies I have a hard time with. Shows seem to be a lot easier. Don't ask me why. It just is what it is. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out and having some fun.
No, thank you, Lindsay.
Oh, man. Your sarcasm backfired immediately.
Party shots.
Look at that.
I was going to say thank you, Lindsay, for doing what you did to Espo today. I fucked it all up.
Thank you for getting Lindsay back without me having to do anything. Much appreciated.
Don't say I never had your back.
Well, you haven't, but that's all right.
If you guys have not yet become a member at gophnx.com, please consider doing so. You get to read Gerald's amazing articles, and there's extra content over there. You also get all the specials for our merch. We have a deal of the week each week for gophnx.com members.
We about to drop some special deals.
Well, you know what? I can go ahead and say it. We are going to have a Black Friday sale starting on Friday, and that's how Black Friday works. And it's going to be up to 50% off in the locker.
Ooh, nice.
Nice.
50%
and so
off in the locker.
You can check out all of the things we have in the locker at phnxlocker.com. Get prepared. Yep. Become a member so you can hit up all of those deals and specials.
I saw I fucked up, Manuel. Okay? Sorry.
Manuel, okay? I sometimes confuse Lindsay with Espo too, so it's okay. We do look so much alike.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're both the oldies of the group, yeah. So I get it.
Their spirit looks the same.
Exactly.
As I spit everywhere. Sorry.
Mm.
I'm Lindsay Smith. You can follow me on Twitter at Lindsay Smith AZ. That's Saul Bookman. You can follow him on Twitter at Saul_Bookman. That's Gerald Bourget. You can follow him on Twitter at Gerald Bourget. And of course, we've got Espo. You can follow him on Twitter at Espo.
I still haven't forgiven Lindsay, but
good night.
Oh, boy.
And the show, Shane. Ahoy.